God loves us so much. Think about that this morning. God loves each one of us the way we are because he died for each one of us the way we are. So with that encouragement, I wanted to tell you, when we look at this morning's message, before I give you the title and the passage here, the disciples were going through some troubling times. Maybe you've been going through that this week. I know I have, and others have been telling me the same way too. But besides God's faithfulness, the disciples, and we're going to be looking into his love and his hope this morning, his disciples were saying to Jesus, "Why are you leaving?" You know, Jesus had talked about his hour to come, saying, "Look, Jesus, you did miracles. You turned, you turned water into wine." And there were many miracles that Jesus did. So many, as the fact that John said, if it were possible, all the books have been written, could not even fill all these things that Jesus did. Isn't that a miracle in itself? When we get outside, Jesus wants us, you know, us to get away from the physical and think about the spiritual. He wanted the disciples to focus on the spiritual aspect of their lives. And then that's when things start making sense to us. So Jesus did many things. Remember, he did miracles. He was he spent, for like from John chapter 12 and 13, 14, 15, and into 16, he's getting into the upper room discourse, and he's explaining to his disciples here, you know, let me spend some time with you. Next week, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer and how, you know, it's about how we should be praying to the Lord and praying for one another and his prayer to the Father. So there are many things that were going on at this time. It's easy to be confused when you have a lot on your plate at one time. I think God wants us to take little bites and little things at a time. Somebody did mention to me that with our daily bread, you can get a little devotional. What do you call that? Somebody help me there. On your phone, it's called a what? What do you call that? A what?
App.
Yes, thank you. I had to say that because I was going to say that earlier and I forgot. But I believe that, you know, even the little, our daily breads, they help. My point is getting back into John. And we are going to order some more of those, by the way, for those who are pondering that. Disciples needed Jesus more than anything else. Like we need his word. Jesus says, you know, I'm going to go away. And you are going to suffer. That's a guarantee. So it should be no new thing about suffering. Many of us could write books about it too. But remember, Jesus didn't come into this world to take away their sorrow, the sorrow that we have, pains and afflictions and trials and tribulations. But he did transfer that sorrow into joy. How can we sing a song like Great is Thy Faithfulness? How can we do that? How can we give hope to people? Like yesterday, we had a funeral with one of the ladies here over not too far from here, and give hope to people who have no hope. I don't know, when you go do a funeral, most of the times you don't know the people at all. You don't know them from Adam, but you do what that person would ask you to say and give them hope in Jesus. And then you transform that sorrow into joy, and then Jesus is saying, my cross, my sorrow that I'm looking forward to, and he's saying this, that cross will be turned into joy. We today are all bearing crosses, and we all are suffering. Jesus understood that. Remember, again, Jesus understood all these things. He knows that. And so the disciples are listening. And they're contemplating things. They don't understand everything. Now, we're going to look into the three cardinal virtues, you know, today. And a virtue is a high moral standard. God's word is a high moral standard that we know the difference between right and wrong. Today in our world today, They've muddied that. They've muddied the water. They've thrown up a lot of smoke screens. But we have the truth. Thank God for that. As I said in Sunday school class, you have the belt of truth. We're putting on our armor because we are in a warfare, and that truth helps hold up everything. Without the truth, our armor would fall apart. But knowing that the truth, and the truth will set us free. So we see here that the disciples are now still a little bit confused. Now, our life might be a little confusing, but remember, God's allowing all this to happen for what? To glorify him, to worship him. So verse 16. So we see, first of all, verse 25, moving on down here, is the first point is love. We're going to look at love this morning. These things have I spoken to you in figurative languages. That means a veiled, pointed statement. Figurative language, Jesus says that he has spoken here. Remember about the pregnant woman, okay? At first, we looked at last week, there will be many pains and so on and so forth for a woman who's pregnant. But in the end, there'll be that great joy once the baby comes into the world. That is happening. Jesus uses that last week. And it's a picture of the pains and sorrows that we have today, that tomorrow when we get to heaven, it will be like, oh, I went through all this. And even the Bible says we cannot compare the tribulations and the sorrows, like it says in Romans, we cannot compare it to the glory that is before us. And we know that all nature, everything travails right now and is in sorrow and pain. And so all God's creation is because of sin. And so it says here, in a little while, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you more plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask my name, and I will not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come forth from God. So, people today, let me say this. Some people today think that God's a big, mean person up in the sky that will do whatever he wants, however he wants to with people in many different ways. And yet you have those people who think today that Jesus is a person of justice. So he came and he died on the cross. Yes, he did. And, he justified his means. God did. Okay. And then you have Mary. Some people believe that the Virgin Mary, who is highly favored, they believe that she's the intercessor for between God and man. Well, that's not true, obviously. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to go to my Father, number one. Number two, there is the cross that you can follow me as I go to my Father. He is there right now, sitting on the right hand, and he loves us. And God sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. And of course, once the rapture takes place, as we know in our eschatology, that the Holy Spirit will go also. And the man, the Antichrist, will appear. So, unfortunately, the church doesn't have to go through that, because after Revelation chapter 3, there's no more mention of the church. We're not going to go through the tribulation, and we're not going to be raptured in the middle, and we're not going to be raptured at the end of the tribulation. Thank God for that. There's nothing there to support that. So, God loves us. Romans chapter 8, and verses 37 through 39 says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So as far as the east is from the west, as far as the north is from the south, it's just like a cross pictured on us. And we have to also remember Jesus was nailed there. And today we need to take our sins and lay them before the cross and realize, hey, Jesus had to bear his cross. Each one of us does. Reminded of that song, The Old Rugged Cross. So beautiful. And so the disciples are there. They're listening. And they're starting to understand what Jesus is saying. Okay? There's a lot of things in the Lord, with the Lord in our lives, sometimes we don't understand. Why does this have to happen? Well, obviously, the first thing that comes to my mind is we have to trust and obey him and say, no matter what happens down the road, there's a reason. Well, one, I can grow in the Lord. And number two, I can glorify God. So there's a, you can either, as we looked at it earlier today, one lady says, you know, going through a lot of trials. And I said, well, you know what? For a person that's going through a lot of trials, God's trying to get your attention to trust him, to obey him. And don't always blame the devil for it, because sometimes we're just drawn away by our own weaknesses. And so, of course, God will not allow anything to happen to us unless there's a reason. So we come before the Lord, we get it right, we ask him for his forgiveness, and get it under the blood, and get it right, and move on. Put it behind you. Look forward to Jesus Christ. So the disciples had seen many things that the Lord had done, and they knew that the Lord loved them. Remember when Peter was out in the Sea of Galilee, and he says, hey, Master, we're perishing. Don't you know the boat is sinking? You're asleep. We looked at that in earlier in John. There are many examples. And Jesus said to him, I'm right here. I'm right here with you, Peter. You know, come on out and reach me. You know, come on out. And Peter started to walk on the water. Remember that? It was by faith, Peter. I'm sure he remembered that. And he was sitting here with the disciples. They remembered there at the pool of Siloam. Remember? There was a man there who had been crippled for almost 40 years. 40 years, that's a long time. And Jesus said, stand up and walk. And that guy, he believed in faith. But there was the love of Christ that drew this man to God's word. It's God's word that it's the love that we are drawn to. And there were many examples, like the woman at the well. She said, how did you know that I had slept around and did unimaginable things? And Jesus says, I know all about you. You've been forgiven. And so she goes, oh, I have to go tell people about you, this Samaritan woman. And she couldn't wait. She left Jesus' presence. And Jesus looked at her, of course, and I can just imagine, you know, they talk about racism. They talked about, you know, people being prejudiced. Jesus was not prejudiced. He was a loving God. He cares. And we can sense the love of God today. So that is one virtue. And I'm sure that these disciples knew that they were loved, but they didn't understand their best friend at the time. Even Thomas said, you know, Lord, we'll even go die for you too, if it was possible. Even doubting Thomas, we looked at that as well. But Jesus had a time when he was going to die, and no one would take that away. And encourage yourselves today that God's in control, and he knows everything that's going on, even when it seems like, you know, nothing is making sense. Don't let it drag you down. Keep your eyes on the Savior. So we see here the disciples are listening. Jesus goes on to say, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Now, he goes on to say, he says, I came forth from the Father. That was his incarnation. He came, the beginning of John speaks of God's incarnation, talking about how Christ came into the world. Why was John written? so that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, his deity. So people need to know that today because they have a wrong concept of who Jesus Christ is. There's a lot of misconceptions in that today. We see it all around us. Number two, it says, right, I have come into this world. So Jesus came as a human. He was all 100% God, 100% human. He came into the world to what? To save sinners such as you and I. He came into this world because he loves us. Number three, we see here, and again, I leave the world. And so he would leave, but yet he would, what, be resurrected. You know, in just a short time, as this year's gone by so quick already, next month, we will celebrate Palm Sunday. We'll be celebrating Easter Sunday, as we call it. And then that wonderful about the resurrection. You know, the Lord will resurrect us. It's just a matter of time when the Lord comes back for his church. Then we see, fourthly, he says here that we go to the Father. He goes to the Father, and he will be glorified. Why? You know, today, our ends mean will justify that we want to glorify God. Our worship service here this morning was to glorify God. We are here in the presence of the Lord this morning, and wherever we go, to glorify God. I'm just amazed how the world has taken what we were created for, to worship God, and used it for other means. And so the world has a different empty concept. The other day I watched on YouTube a concert, and I saw all these people, these young people, older people, all jumping up and down and doing this and that. And, you know, it was just almost like they were, I wouldn't say worshiping this band, but I was thinking, oh my goodness, where did they have their concept? They have their goals in the wrong way. You know, it's sad when you see that. And the empty lives of people walk away because they think it's a thrill for the moment. And they sense that exhilaration. And then it's gone. With the Holy Spirit, it stays. You know, it's the joy, joy, joy that we have in Jesus, the joy that fills my heart. Every day and every hour, I will give him joy, joy, joy. Constantly, you know, I would have to say one thing about the love of Jesus. These old hymnals, you know what, I'm in love with them. They're my first love. They are just wonderful. I'm very thankful to be here at our church here because there's nothing like the old hymns. There is nothing like them because it's like going back to my first love. I remember when I first got saved, we sang those hymns. Floods your heart with many good memories. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that fills my heart every moment, every hour. Then we see here, not only was there the love that Jesus was showing to his disciples, and he's showing this to us now. We need this. And then, secondly, there's the faith. He says, verse 29, his disciples said unto him, see now that you are speaking plainly to us and no figurative speech. They're starting to see what was going on. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. That's interesting because they're saying, well, God, if you are everything you say who you are, then, you know, why would anybody even have to question you? That's a good thought because you have people today saying, you know, if Jesus came and showed himself as God today, maybe people would change. I honestly believe in all my heart, soul, and mind, and spirit that I don't think it would change anything. I think people are still under that cover of darkness, that sin, and they still wouldn't believe it. And I think it would be repeating everything all over again. Of course, we know that when Jesus comes back for his church, there'll be someone who will be a false Messiah, somebody who will be the great pretender, and that's the Antichrist. He'll come into the world, and those who have rejected Christ at this time period will be under a delusion, under a false pretense, a lie, to believe in the lie and worship the Antichrist, and that will come during the tribulation period. And so for those who reject Jesus now, they will be sent a strong delusion. They'll believe in a lie because they rejected the truth. They didn't want the truth. It's very sad. But let me encourage you here. So there's the disciples are saying, okay, now nobody will have to question you. Just do what you do, Jesus. By this we believe that you came forth from God. So they remembered that, you know, Jesus, you came from God. And remember, they remembered the Old Testament. You have to understand, too, that some of these guys, they were fishermen. Some were tax collectors. Others, they were like nobodies, you know. But Jesus has taken nobodies to turn out to be somebodies. And they remembered the justifying faith. They remembered the Pentateuch of Abel. And there was a faith of worship. And there was Enoch. There was a sanctifying faith. His walk. Remember back in the Old Testament, he walked with God. And God took him. Again, that's another picture of being caught up, taken up. And then Noah had a separating faith. He was a witness to all the people while he built that boat for many, many years, and people are like, this guy's a nutcase. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, it's never rained here before. And by then, the world was full of violence, and there was only 8 righteous people. But Noah, he stepped out by faith and did what God told him to do. And I guess our faith today, we would have to ask ourselves, are we doing what God's called each one of us has done? I've told people this in the past, that each one of us has a personal relationship. It's something personal with you. And then also we see that Abraham had an obedient faith. God told him, and Abraham trusted God, and he went wherever God called him to go. Abraham was a pioneer. He went many different places, and he was justified by faith, and he did what he was told. And then there was Sarah. She had a strengthening faith. She was very old in the years when she had Isaac, but she had also a productive faith. She supported her man. She took care of what she needed to do there. And, you know, when somebody knocks Sarah's faith and she laughed, you know, it was a laugh, and the Hebrew has the idea of, Lord, that's impossible. How can you? I'm 90 years of it. Come on, give me a break. You know, and she laughed. And of course, you know, Isaac, yeah, laughter. So it was very important. And then we see here, too, there was the Isaac's, he had a patient faith. We see, remember, he was going to go to the altar and be sacrificed. And you know, God had a ram caught in the thickets there, and God tested Abraham's faith, but Isaac was patient. And then we see there are many other faiths. There was Moses. He had the enduring faith. He yielded to God. He was for 40 years. Remember, he was out there. He was a shepherd. The first 40 years he was in Egypt, the second 40 years he was shepherding, and God called him. Remember, he didn't want anything to do with what the world had and all the goodies that the world had to offer. And then lastly, he was there and he endured to God's faith. And then, you know, his last 40 years was, of course, there in the wilderness, but it was only because of his disobedience. He wasn't able to go into the promised land. So what I'm trying to say here is our faith has consequences. We have choices to make. And so it was very important for Jesus to tell his disciples this. And so We need to take our faith seriously. And Jesus answers them, he says, do you believe in verse 31? Indeed, verse 32, the hour is coming, yes, has now come that you will be scattered. So now Jesus is saying, look, you know, I have a plan. The Father has a plan. I am subservient. I am a servant. I came as a servant. I'm here to do my Father's will. We're here today to do Jesus' will, not our own. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us desires of our heart. He knows us. He loves us. He knows our desires, our wants. But if we put him first, he can answer prayer there. And he was going to do that for the disciples. But he also knew that they were going to scatter. Once the shepherd was taken out of the way, the sheep would scatter. It's so important because he knows that as sheep, that without a shepherd, we would get in trouble. So he understands these things. We're looking at Revelation in Sunday school, and we're looking at the four living creatures. They're God's throne. They're cherubim. And they have eyes circling all around them. And has the idea they see all things. They see the glory of God. They see the things created in heaven. They see the things created in earth. They see the things created under the earth. Everything in creation that God has made. And they're constantly worshiping God, even as we're here today, as we're in a form of worship to him. So as the disciples see that, oh, so we're going to scatter. You know, I'm very thankful that we don't see our futures. I'm very thankful for that. Because it's not a surprise, right? We already know what our surprise is going to be. We're going to go one day to be with the Lord. But in the meantime, with that space of time, remember, God has stepped out of time. 1,000 days is a year, and a year is 1,000 is a day, right? Well, God looks at our time, and he sees what we're doing, and he's going to intercede for us. He's going to take care of us because we're praying through the Spirit. The disciples had no idea what would happen in the next couple hours. You could see now Judas coming with all these torches, with all these priests and these guards. And, you know, God knew everything what was going to happen. And I would think that would tear our hearts apart if we had to think about what was going to happen tomorrow. You know, Jesus said, take each day for what it is. For you, tomorrow you have enough worries for itself. So they'll be scattered. The faith would be tested. And each one left. And remember, when they left, they came back to the upper room. And what happened a few weeks later? The Pentecost. Remember, we had 40 days when Jesus appeared to the people around him and others for 40 days. And then, of course, you see, once Jesus left in a few weeks, we had what? Pentecost happened. Got to get my timeline straight here. It says here, for yes, they have now come and they will be scattering each of his own will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because I go to the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you that in me you may have peace. And that's my third point. You know, one, we have love, we have faith, and then there's hope. Definition of hope here is to trust in, wait for, look for, or desire something or someone, or to expect something beneficial in the future. So we look forward to things, to trust, to hope, to wait for, to look for, desire for, or someone or some expected thing be beneficial in the future. We have our hope. I like what it says here in Romans chapter 5. And verses 1 through 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also I have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character. And remember, I said last week, God is very interested in our character, our personality, what makes us up, makes us tick. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. So we have our faith, our hope, and our love. And the greatest of these three things is what? Is love. God's love. So what is love? It is the agape love is a selfless love, a giving love. Got to ask yourself that this morning. Do I have that kind of love? Number two, do I have faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And of course, I put in hope then is number three too. So those are those things that we trust for, we look for, we desire for something, our expectations. I pray today that our expectations are with Him to encourage us, because we need to encourage one another as these days are evil, taking all that we can with the armor of God and taking a stand, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, taking a stand and taking all things that we have to fight off, and as well as be on the opposition against the forces of evil. But I love what he says here. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he's talking about his resurrection. Encourage yourself today. Yesterday was a sunny day. It was cold, but it was nice, wasn't it? With the sunshine. Today it's a little cloudy, a little cool out. But it's not what's on the outside that should affect us. It should be what's on the inside, what God has for us. So I'm trying to encourage everyone today here. So when the disciples are just like you and I today, some things don't make sense, number one. Number two, then they start making sense. Okay, Jesus, now you're making sense. And then number three, to be encouraged, to be of good cheer. You know, cheer up. Be filled with the Spirit. Remember, it's that joy is where we get from the part of the Holy Spirit that we have. And I'm sure many of you this week can tell many things which have happened to you this week. And so my prayer is that look up Hebrews chapter 11. Encourage yourself. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Study those verses, because there's so many good things in there, precious promises that you can look up. Our faith, our hope, and our love. And of course, you know, when you have love, that covers everything, obviously. And that's why Jesus is God. God is love. God is hope. God is faith. So we're running, you know, and I'll close with this. This is like in a race. When you start out, you feel refreshed when you're running on track. I don't know if anybody here ever ran track before. You feel exhilarated. Your coach will tell you never, never look next to you or look behind you or start to slow down. But you keep a pace, keep a healthy pace. And you have that joy when you first sprint and you run and you go around the first corner. And then you realize that, hey, you start seeing people next to you, maybe people ahead of you. But you're keeping on your track. And then you're going down the second corner, running around the third corner, and you're coming toward the finish line around the fourth corner. And by then, you start getting a little tired. And what do? You just keep yourself focused, and you just let the joy, whether you come in first or last, God doesn't look at it that way, obviously, compared to the world. But you know you're going to be in first place, because you know your author and your finisher is Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He has given us hope through our life to follow and he's given us the love of Christ to enjoy now and forever. This is just the beginning. And when we can come boldly before his throne of grace, as I close here, that we are told in Hebrews 4, chapter 16, that we can come boldly before his throne of grace. We need help in time, that God will answer our prayers. My prayer is that we will take these virtues, we will look in scriptures and study them this week. Hebrews 11, Romans 5, 1 through 5, John 16, just keep that in mind. Lord, thank you for this time you've given us. And we're all runners, Lord. We all have that race that we run. And thank you, Lord, for the disciples and the confusion that they had. And Lord, sometimes life can distract us. Like it says in Revelation chapter 3, let no man steal your crown. That means distract you from your crown. Your crown, your victorious crown. The finisher's crown, the crown that we will throw before you in Revelation. There's that victor's crown that we have. And thank you, God, for the burst of energy that we can only get through you. It keeps us running the race. Thank you for prayers. We thank you for your word. We just pray that we can take these virtues and solemnly worship you with them. And thank you for the saints that are here, the saints that are online. And thank you again for our our website is back up. We thank you for Bill Streeter helping with that. And he responded back, Lord, well, he appreciated that the Lord had given him the gift to fix things like that. And thank you for the Streeters and the blessing they've been. And we thank you for your folks all around the world as we are together, as like with the disciples. We're right there with them in truth and spirit. We understand these things. And I pray that if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as Savior, that they will look at all the good things the Bible has to say. And yes, there are bad things in the Bible, but you can't have one without the other, and realize that there is hope, there is faith, there is love in these things. And pray that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you will come to realize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior in Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.